Some of y'all were betting on that, weren't you? It's Christmas time. Merry Christmas. It was good to hear laughter in the church this morning. Lisa was concerned about that little video. She said, I don't know if I should do it or not. I said, well, I haven't seen it. So I said, just go for it. And so it's good. We're supposed to be joyfully and happy this morning that we're here. What better way to celebrate the birth of Christ is together as the church. Amen. Amen. Before we go any further, let's go again to the Lord in prayer, and let's just spend a little time communing with Him, and then we'll get into His Word. Lord, we love You this morning, and Father, we thank You. We come to worship the newborn King today. Lord, most of us have probably unwrapped gifts this morning, or maybe given some gifts, but Lord, none of them compare to the gift that was given to us on Christmas. And Lord, we can water it down just by running through the motions. And Lord, we want to stop for just about 30 minutes this morning, maybe an hour this morning, as we sing and we get into Your Word, and we want to focus and we want to bring it back to the surface, the importance of the gift that was given. For all the world, which includes everybody that's here, anybody that's listening online, anybody that's maybe we'll join in later. Who knows? But God, You gave Your one and only Son. You gave Yourself to come and be a sacrifice for our sins, to be the Savior of the world. And Lord, for that we thank You and we worship You today. We give You praise. We give You honor. We give You our glory. And we give You the glory that we have, anything that we can display. God, we lay down our life for You and service for what You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 2, this is a very familiar place as Christians that we go to for the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. But I want you to find verse 25. We're going to skip forward just a little bit. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, if you want to find that. The message that's on my heart today, I titled it this, Embracing Baby Jesus. Holding baby Jesus. While y'all are looking for that, I do want to give just a little update on my father. We prayed. We closed the service last week praying for my father and his friend Carl. My father God had laid it on his heart. It lined up so perfectly for him to give his friend Carl his kidney. They matched perfectly. And it's just such a blessing. And I just want to thank you all for the prayers on behalf of him and Carl both, but also for me. We got the news, when the surgery was, that we got the news that as soon as they hooked up the kidney, I act like it's a car part or something, but we're so blessed to have the technology and the knowledge that God has blessed us with to do the things that we do. But as soon as they hooked the new kidney up inside Carl, the doctor said immediately it started working. And so it's just a blessing. And some of you have seen it. The deacons have been passing around. There's a picture of them two standing together or being beside each other after the surgery. And it's just a humbling Christmas gift. And so it's a blessing to give. It's a blessing to receive. And what better time of year for that to take place? So I just wanted to give you all a little update on thank you for your prayers. So most Christians would go to Luke chapter 2 when they read about the Christmas story. Luke was he had very good details. He was a very detail-oriented guy. He just did such a good job of recording the events that happened at the birth of Christ. And so I figured I would spend some time there this morning, but if you read Luke chapter 2, you'll see that this taxation brings this young couple to the town of Bethlehem. All right, you'll read that this baby Jesus was born in a manger. You'll read that if you go right to the beginning of Luke chapter 2. Then you'll also read about these angels and a heavenly host that comes down and appears to the shepherds. You'll read about the awestruck mother that's pondering over all the things that had taken place. Just picture all that. You'll read about this baby that was given the name, above all names, Jesus. Now, I feel like most people are very familiar with the events that took place at Christmas. Every street corner, a lot of people's houses will have the nativity scene, and we're taught that. Even people who are non-believers probably would understand what you said when you said Merry Christmas, or if you read the Christmas story, they had heard it before, even if it was only through watching Charlie Brown years ago. They know of the Christmas story. But the events that took place shortly after the birth of Jesus sometimes gets overlooked. Now, we shouldn't, not to downplay the birth of Christ and the story of that, but you see, included in the Christmas story, included in the events of Christ's birth, you'll read about Jesus being dedicated to the Lord in the temple. He took his baby. That was tradition. That's what you did. That was what was required by the law. You took your firstborn son and you dedicated them to the Lord for the Lord's care, for the Lord's service. You would dedicate that child to the Lord and say, "It's God's. This is God's child, and He's going to be. I know God's going to protect this child, and God is going. And He's going to be God's servant." And the last thing is this last thing in the Christmas story is what God has really just pressed upon my heart for this Christmas season. The whole month has been packed. I mean packed with church events, which is good things. We've had get-togethers. We've had families and friends get-togethers. We've been running here, running there. This is just talking about my family. I know you can probably relate. Many of you have traveled even further than I have to travel to go see my family. And as great as all these things are, personally, just to be real with you today, I had let all that busyness and all the hustling and all the running around and the shopping and all the stuff that we do. I said shopping. Jenny probably, look, she's giving me a look like, yeah, you did a lot of shopping. All that stuff, I let it rob me this Christmas season. I let it rob me of fully enjoying this time of year and really worshiping God through this time of year. Now, I tell you that not to complain, but I tell you that to tell you this is how I came upon this message. This is how God laid the message on my heart. So often, we get too wrapped up, no pun intended, on the Christmas events and the Christmas story and all those things that we forget to focus on the importance of the birth of Christ. Now, that sounds cliche. That sounds like something, well, of course, a pastor's going to say that. But it really impacted me this week, and especially this week as I was planning on obviously preaching on the birth of Christ, but God kept bringing up this passage. God kept bringing up this name Simeon on my mind and on my heart. It was on my heart. It was in a devotion, one of the devotions I read this week. It was in about 10 minutes of a sermon as I was getting in out of my work vehicle this week that I heard, and I was listening to it on the radio, a sermon. And so I just began to study the scripture that immediately follows the birth of Christ. I was like, maybe I need to refocus a little bit and focus maybe not just on something that just seems like tradition or whatever, and just say, what is it, God, that you want to tell me? So I began studying this passage, and I truly believe it helped me focus on the fact that Jesus not only came to us as a gift, but He came for a purpose. And His fate at the moment of His birth, when He was conceived, and the plan that they had in heaven before His birth, baby Jesus' fate was already decided. His purpose was already there. It was already sealed. And if we just celebrate the birth of a baby in a manger without having that moment that Christ made us a new creation, that each one of us can say, God, I had an encounter. I embraced Jesus Christ, and He made me a new creation. If we celebrate Christmas and have the Christmas tree and give presents and receive presents and come to church and we do all that, and we've never been made a new creation in Christ, we'll never really have peace on earth. And that's what we're talking about. You see the signs all over the place. If you go to Busch Gardens, they'll have a big light that says, peace on earth. But I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I got up here and preached on peace and didn't tell you where to find it. Amen? So let's read Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35. The prophecy of Simeon. It says this, at that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and He is the glory to your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what had just been said about Him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, he said this, the child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Let's preach. Let's pray before we preach. Lord, we love you this morning, and we know that your word preaches for itself. But God, I just pray that we would receive something from you, just like Simeon did, that we'll be led by the Holy Spirit, that we will allow you to speak to us today as we go through this and as we celebrate the greatest gift that was ever given. Lord, may you reveal the truth to us, and may we receive it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So just to lay the foundation a little bit this morning, I touched on it a little bit earlier, but in this passage, we see that this baby, Jesus, was taken to the temple, and they were going to dedicate him to the Lord. And somewhere within the temple, Mary and Joseph, they run into this man named Simeon. All right, now, as far as I know, I'm not a Bible scholar, but as far as I know in my reading of the Bible, all that we know about this man Simeon is found right here in this passage that we just read. I don't know of anywhere else that I've read that it mentions and that we really know much about this guy Simeon. But we do know this from the passage that we just read. He was a man who loved God. He loved the Lord. That's simple, right? He was a man who was obedient to the Holy Spirit, right? Look, that's what he said. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He was an ordinary man with an extraordinary devotion to God. That's who he was. I want to encourage you with this morning. You gonna come up and preach with me? I want to encourage you with this morning. So often we think of so many different things that maybe we have to do to please God. Maybe we think, well, if I could just be better at this, if I could just quit this addiction, if I could just maybe quit cussing, if I could maybe quit doing this, if I could do that. We think of all the don'ts that we do that we shouldn't do. But sometimes we need to focus on the do's. Like, what does God want us to do? All he wants us to do, look at Simeon, all he wants us to do is to love God and be obedient to his leading. It's that simple. If we do that, we're going to do exactly what Jesus told us to do, and that's love God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul, and everything that we have. We love God, and we love our neighbor. It's going to be that easy. That's what led him to the temple that day, is he was devoted to God. Look back with me at verses 25, 26, and 27. We're going to read it again. It says this. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby, Jesus, to the Lord, as the law required. I want to stop right there. Here's what we see about this man, Simeon. All right. He was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. He was devoted to God. Number two was this. He was a man who was looking for the promises of God. He had heard the promise of God. God had given him a promise. God had given Israel a promise. And he didn't give up on God. He believed and he was looking for the promised Messiah. Number three was this. Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit. Number four, Simeon was given a promise from God. Think about this. If he wouldn't allow the Holy Spirit to lead him, he never would have had this encounter. And this passage of Scripture, we wouldn't even have it today. So you think, well, man, the Lord's just leading me to go here to speak to this person. Who knows the impact that it will have? And number five, Simeon was a man who saw God's promise come to pass when he got to hold baby Jesus. Church, I want to spend most of the time in the coming verses this morning. And there's where God really has me. But I have to say this before we move on. Simeon stands as a great example for me today. He stands for a great example for you today and every believer that's in the world. Because of his closeness to God, because of his dedication to the Lord, his steadfast faith in the promised Messiah, he was blessed by God. See, God does expect our faithfulness. He does want us to be faithful to him and devoted to him. And when we're not faithful to him, God doesn't punish us with not blessing us, but what we miss out on the blessings that we receive from being obedient to the Holy Spirit, being devoted to God, waiting on the promises of God and not rushing it. If you don't believe me, look back at the very beginning. Look at Abraham, right? He tried to rush God's blessing and God's promise. It never works out. Simeon was a man who took that and he said, look, I'm going to wait and I'm going to wait and I'm going to be steadfast and I'm going to wait on God himself. He got to hold the Messiah. He didn't just get to see it in the manger, the baby. He got to embrace an ordinary man devoted to God, got to hold God himself. got to hold the one who gave himself for the world. Church, we must learn from Simeon this morning. We must remember that if God makes a promise, he's going to see it through. There's somebody here today that's had a promise given to them. Something has been laid on their heart and they're thinking, God, is this ever going to come true? God, I've been praying about this for years. Is it ever going to pass? Is it ever going to happen? Is this struggle that I'm going through ever going to pass? Be steadfast. Hold tight. Stay close to God. Follow the Holy Spirit like Simeon. God will see you through it. Amen? God is going to bring the promise to fulfillment. Revelation chapter 2, verse 19, it says this. I know all the things you do. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance. I can see your constant improvement in all these things. That's God talking to you this morning saying, I've seen what you're doing. I see the steadfastness that you had, the love. Don't give up. I see it. I'm working out my salvation in your life. We got to follow the example of Simeon today because that's who God has put on my heart. And he's in the scriptures and he's there for a reason. Look at verse 28 through 33 with me as we continue in Luke chapter 2. It says this, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory to your people, Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Church, here we see, and this is kind of like the meat and potatoes of what God has kind of put on my message, but we see the purpose of baby Jesus right here in this passage, right here in a prophecy given by a regular guy who loved the Lord and was devoted to him and stood steadfast and said, God, I'm going to let you lead me and follow the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a priest. It wasn't a Pharisee. It wasn't anybody. It was a regular guy named Simeon who gives this prophecy about what Jesus' purpose was, what this baby's purpose was. This baby that was born in the manger was God's salvation for the entire world. Think about that. And I love what happened when Simeon embraced Jesus. And it's another thing that we can come to as an example. When he embraced Jesus, what did he do? He broke out into praise. A lot of commentators say this was actually a song, that he broke out into a song. We see that all throughout Scripture. When someone saw something and something encountered God or some God did something for them, even Mary, when she was promised the birth of or to be giving birth to Jesus, what did she do? She sang a beautiful hymn, a beautiful song of praise. We see it through David. We see it all throughout the Old Testament. Even with the kings before battles, they would worship. They would break out into praise. So often in churches, we just come in and we sing through the songs and we, joy to the world. We should be joyful this morning. And we should be singing his praises every day. The moment that we come into contact with Jesus, we should be breaking out into praise. And here, I believe, is what we see that why we really celebrate Christmas right here in these few verses. The gifts, the lights, the candles, the warm feeling we get, the words that we throw around like peace and all those different things. This encounter between Jesus Christ and Simeon shows why we celebrate Christmas. And I believe that's why God put it on my heart. Look at what Simeon proclaims in these verses. Here's four things that really jumped out at me as I was going through it this week and just kind of pondering on it. Number one is this. He proclaims that this child is God's salvation. Now, we can throw that word out there all day long too, but really think about that. Really think, a sovereign God, a holy God, providing salvation for a bunch of sinful people who've done nothing but rebel against him their whole life. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. Maybe Adam and Eve are the only ones. I don't know. But I'm right there with Adam and Eve. He proclaims that this child is God's salvation. He was the source of peace for the world. Simeon experienced the peace that surpasses all understanding that Paul wrote about to the church in Philippi. He said, if you just trust in the Lord and pray about everything, I'm telling you, you will have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Simeon experienced this when he held baby Jesus. That moment where he came into contact with Jesus, he had such peace that he said, God, I can die right now and be totally fine. I don't need anything else. I'm holding the promise of God. He trusted in the promise that God had given him. He simply embraced Jesus and he found peace. This peace is so great that he didn't even care if his life ended. He didn't even care anymore. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, I'm leaving you with a gift. Now, this is before he got crucified and before he was killed on the cross and before he ascended back into heaven. He was telling his disciples and comforting them. He said, look, I'm leaving you with a gift. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm leaving you with a peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I read that verse in Matthew chapter 7. I think it's verse 11 where he says, if sinful people know how to give gifts, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give you gifts? This gift surpasses all gifts that have ever been given or ever will be given. Nobody can give us the gift of peace that Christ came to give us. Number two, Simeon claims that the baby, Jesus, was God keeping his promise. What did he say? He said, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Man, he's saying, I have seen your promise come true in my life. I have seen your promises fulfilled in my life. Church, again, here we see the very heart of the celebration of Christmas. Why is that? Because each person must personally, every person has to confess that Jesus is God's salvation for them, for me. It's nothing else. It's nothing more. It's Jesus. Amen? 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 says this. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. What more can you ask for? And it goes on to say this. And they live in God. Simeon was a man who had a relationship. God, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Do you know in the New Testament church that we are in now, in this period of grace that we are in, Jesus is seated on the throne. He left, but he sent his Holy Spirit down. The Holy Spirit isn't upon a believer today. The Spirit is within you. Amen? What a gift. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. Number three is this. Next, we see Simeon proclaim that God's salvation is not just for some, but it's for everyone. Anyone, everyone, the entire world, every nation, every class of person, every economic status, it doesn't matter, every nationality, every generation. There is no preference. There's no favoritism. God has no prejudices. His salvation is for everybody. That includes you today. That includes me. That includes the worst of the worst that we can think of by human judgment standards of this worst sinner that's in the world. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. We're not supposed to be ashamed about it. We're supposed to go out and be unashamed. Jenny made me a shirt one time and it said, unashamed Christ follower. And I loved wearing it just because it made me be more unashamed, because it would bring up conversations, because I know sometimes that I'm not as bold as I should be, a lot of times. But I remember that shirt as an unashamed Christ follower, and I love to wear it because it just made me be more bold for Christ. He goes on to say this, for I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone. That's what he says, saving everyone who believes. The Jews first and also the Gentiles. Anytime the scriptures refer to the Jews and the Gentiles, that's including everybody. Everybody. Number four, lastly, Simeon proclaimed that Jesus is to be the light of the world. We talked about that last night. If you were here at the Christmas Eve services, we had the candles. They saw about that old song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Somebody's come here today on Christmas morning and their light's dwindled out. Or maybe they've been hiding their light under a stool somewhere or under a table. Simeon proclaims that Jesus is the light of the world. This simply means that this baby that was born in Bethlehem, the baby that was laying in the manger that we see all over the place, he was the light of the world. But what he was and what this really means, simply put, that I believe and what it really speaks to me is that he was direct and eternal revelation from God and who God really is, right? He had come to reveal the way to salvation. This is the way that you receive forgiveness. That's what Jesus' purpose was. He had come to reveal the truth. Here's the truth about God. Here's the truth about religious stuff. Here's the truth about your traditions and all those things. Here's the truth about what God really wants from you. And he had come to reveal and give life to all people. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus told him that. He said, I am the way. Now look, his disciples had just said to him, I think it was Thomas, had said, Lord, how are we going to be with you in heaven? He just told them, there's plenty of room in heaven for you. But how are we going to know the way? We don't know where you're going. How are we going to know? And Jesus tells them this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Church, if Christmas means anything else, if it means anything else to us, to you, to me, then that right there. Or maybe if it means anything less to you or to me than that right there, we've totally missed the point of Christmas. We've totally missed the point of Christmas. And I believe that's why God put this message on my heart, because I needed it. If the birth of Jesus doesn't cause us to proclaim what Simeon proclaimed that day, if we've never embraced Jesus, and we've never had a personal interaction with Christ, if we've never had him close to us and said, I'm ready to receive you, I'm ready to receive the gift of salvation, if we've never praised the Lord for what he's done for us, we really can't truly celebrate Christmas. Well, we don't get the point of it. And that's what God has really been laying on my heart. Anthony, have you spent some time just proclaiming the good news this year? Have you spent time really just really embracing Jesus, the relationship that you have with him? Have you spent any time with him? Have you held Jesus? Have you praised the Lord for what he's done for you? Have you spent any time in worship? Have you spent any time just praising him and lifting your hands to the Holy One and saying, God, thank you for what you've done for me? That's what's on my heart for today. As we close, I want to look at the last couple of verses. And we're going to talk about these, but I don't want to rush through it, but I don't want to take away from what God, I know he has laid on my heart. And so I hope we will take that away today. Look at verses 34 and 35 with me. It says, then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Here we see Simeon prophesying that Jesus would be killed and would be crucified. We see it right here. The Holy Spirit had led him, and God had given him this revelation. He's saying right there, and he's saying, Mary, he said, Mary, one day, he knew that Mary was going to be standing at the foot of the cross, and her very soul would be pierced watching her son hang on the cross in agony. But what I want to focus on as we close up today is this, is what we see happening through Jesus' ministry and through his life. What we still see happening today in the world in which we live in. This child, baby Jesus, he would cause the rise and the fall of many. Now somebody's saying, "What? I don't understand." But see, that this child was what the scriptures calls a stone of stumbling, but it also calls him the chief cornerstone. All right, so what's he talking about here? See, we have to remember that all throughout history and all, even the present time in which we are living, many people will stumble and fall over the gospel, over Jesus Christ and the gift that he gave for us. Many celebrate Christmas. Many will say Merry Christmas, but few ever really stop to really notice Christ. They never look for Christ. They never pick up God's revelation in his word. They never spend the time to say, let me see what God wants to say to me today through his word. Well, let me see what God's promises are. Let me see what the truth really is. They don't take the time to study God's word. They never choose to believe and trust in the promises of God's salvation. They're so struck on thinking, I've got to do this myself. There's got to be a way that I can approve and I can make God approve of me. When it's right there in the manger. Instead, they choose their own way. And in doing this, what they do is they stumble over Jesus, just like someone would stumble in the dark over a stone that's in their path. It's right there for them, but they stumble right over top of it. But see, church, there's this other proclamation this morning from Simeon. He told Mary what? He said, but also many will rise because of him. Many will rise because of him. Those who would choose to stop and take notice of what God has done for us when he sent us salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. Many would believe and trust in Jesus for their salvation. Therefore, he would become the foundation, their very cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, and they would build their life upon it. You see, Simeon was telling us this. Jesus Christ causes every person to make a choice. Every person has to make a choice, just like Simeon did. We can choose to reject or ignore God's salvation, and we can trip and we can fall for all eternity. Or we can accept God's salvation and we can rise. Just like Christ was risen from the grave, we can rise from the old self to our new life in Christ. That's what baptism is all about. When we celebrate baptism, it's the old us going under the water, going under the ground, just like Christ was buried, and the new coming to life. Just like he told Nicodemus, you have to be born again of the Spirit. You see, church, this Christmas, the one day that we celebrate the birth of Christ, we have a great opportunity to be like Simeon. We can embrace Jesus this morning ourselves. Each person that's here today can embrace Jesus. We can choose to build our life upon him, and we can experience the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding, the kind of peace that goes beyond the Christmas season, the kind of peace that causes us to be like Simeon, the kind of peace that makes us no longer fear even death. Even when we think about our own death, we don't like to think about our own death. We like to pretend it's not there. We'll go to funerals or other people's death, but we don't like to think about our own death. But see, when we have the peace that surpasses all understanding, we don't even mind thinking about our own death. But we often have to remember this. There is no neutral position as a Christian. There is no neutral position. You're either in gear, you're either in forward, or you're in reverse. There is no neutral, right? Some people don't never even driven a stick shift. They don't know what I'm talking about. You're either stumbling over Christ or you're building on his foundation this morning. You're either embracing him today or you're rejecting him. You're either living in the light or you're living in the darkness. John chapter 12, verse 46, it says this. This is Jesus talking. He said, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Church, I want to close with this. And Elizabeth's going to come and sing a song. Elizabeth, if you want to come on up and just get ready and everything. I want to say this. If you look under that tree right there, I talked about receiving a gift. And the thing about a gift, you have to receive it. But what's on my heart this morning is my living room was totally trashed. All the gifts had been opened and all the paper. And I went outside, and even this morning, I went out and burned all the boxes and the paper. It drives me crazy. But I thought about all those presents as I watched Lily play with her presents. As I watched myself say, oh man, this is a nice knife that I got for Christmas. That Christmas tree and all the presents underneath of it this morning, just like the one that's sitting right here, it was empty. Those presents are temporary, but the presence of God that we have through Jesus Christ is eternal. And it goes beyond Christmas Day. It goes beyond the Christmas season. It goes beyond people saying, happy holidays. It's for January 1, and it's for December 31st, and it's for all eternity. So my question is today, do you have the presence of God in your life through faith in Jesus Christ? Because until you have that, Christmas will never be what it was intended to be and what it really is. So as we sing, I want us just to stay, as Elizabeth sings, I just want us to spend this time refocusing and embracing Jesus. And think about baby Jesus and the purpose that he really had, the destiny that God really, and what his plan was. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, from the beginning of all creation, God had this plan for our salvation. He knew we were going to reject it, and he knew we were going to mess things up. But even then, he had a plan for you. Think about that baby Jesus and what his plan and his purpose. And I would encourage you today to embrace him. If there's something that I can pray for you about, or I pray with you, or whatever, that's what the church is for. We're family. And we've come together today to help each other, to encourage each other. And so that's all I can do, is just encourage you and help you find your way to Jesus. But you have to make the choice in your heart to actually embrace him and receive the gift this morning. Amen? So if God is calling you this morning, spend some time communion with him and talking to him, embracing Jesus. But I will be up here as well if you need prayer. Elizabeth, thank you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.